So, if you're just joining us today, if you've missed the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about vision loosely. We've been talking about our growing understanding of who we are called to be in Christ, not only individually, but also as a church. We've been talking about kind of re-understanding the charge that Jesus gives us as his followers and as his body, this expression of the body of Christ. And so today, we're going to be digging through this passage in Ephesians. But I'm going to start somewhere slightly different. I'm going to start in talking briefly about Zechariah. Zechariah is a prophet in the Old Testament, almost at the very end of the Old Testament there. And in Zechariah 10, there's this pretty funky little description. Zechariah wrote to the church in exile, to the Jewish people in exile. And he says to them, in chapter 10, he says, he basically talks about these two themes. There's this theme of God, it talks about scattering his people. And in that context, it kind of was in terms of judgment. He's scattering them out. But as he scatters them, he says, they will remember me in far away countries. So there's this idea of the body of God, the family of God, scattered. Maybe you could say planted out there. And then he promises something. In the same sentence, like side by side, there's the idea of scattering. And then he says, God is going to bring his people back together. Gather them back. And that's the promise of God. We live in the in-between. We live in between. And that in-between place, in between Christ's death and resurrection, the cross, and Christ's coming again, we live in between God's work of redemption and God's work of, at the end of all things, bringing everything new. We live in between. That in-between place was what, in a lot of ways, the people of Israel had experienced, this exile. We live in exile. But the in-between place can be incredibly sweet. Because right now, our in-betweenness has one common feature, togetherness. And that's what kind of sets us apart from the people of Israel who were scattered to the far corners. But we have this experience of togetherness. And togetherness is critical. There's these two themes that recur over and over and over again in the Gospels. The themes are connecting and sending. There's Jesus praying for his disciples, may they be one. And then there's Jesus saying to his disciples, go into all corners of the world, connecting and sending over and over and over again. Zechariah calls that connecting and sending, that in-between place. Now, the passage we read this morning from Ephesians is describing, in some ways, both of those. He talks about unity. In fact, the first six verses are all about unity. Verse 3 says something pretty interesting. David, do you still have that scripture? How about bringing that back up here for me? Because I forgot my Bible. Okay. But in verse 3, there's this fascinating statement about unity. Let me read it to you again. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's something really interesting going on there. First, it starts with the verb keep. And you know what that says? It means you don't make it. We're not called to make unity or to create unity. It exists. We're called to just keep it. But then he says, what is our, he kind of says how our unity expresses itself through the bond of peace. What I really dig about this passage is that instead of saying strive for unity, Paul says, I think, strive for peace. The word peace carries a lot of meaning right there. When he says through the bond of peace, he's basically saying peace should be the adjective that describes your interaction together. Peace should be the quality of your life together. Peace should be how you relate to one another. So when you feel like someone has treated you differently than you deserve, the response that you make should be characterized by peace. When you feel like decisions have been made that are different than the decisions you would make in this family together, in our life together, your response is guided by peace. The result of that is unity. He says, be completely humble, be gentle, be patient, bear with each other, hang in there, pursue peace. And then you know what unity becomes? It becomes a result. That's important. I bet every one of you can think of a family you've known. Not any of us, I'm sure, but a family you've known where their life together was not described by the word peace. In fact, their life together was probably described best by conflict. Maybe some of you grew up in that family. It's a helpful reminder of what we are called to be, a family of peace. Again, the reminder that we're not called to strive for unity. We're called to strive for peace. In fact, Paul actually says that our unity is of the Spirit. Our unity is not our own creation. Our unity is a gift from God because of our commitment to peace, to bearing with each other, to being humble, gentle, patient. So if peace describes our unity, what's the content of our unity? In other words, what does unity look like? Is unity togetherness? That's a relevant question for us as a multi-site church, as a church that meets in different places. Does unity mean togetherness? I've been reading a book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's called Life Together. Short little book, but so profound. Has so much to say to us in the place where we are. I want to read you this quote from Martin Luther. Bonhoeffer starts his book, his description of life together, with this quote. The kingdom of God is to be in the midst of your enemies. And the one who will not suffer this does not want to be of the kingdom of Christ. He wants to be among friends, to sit among roses and lilies, but not with the bad people, instead with the devout people. Oh, you blasphemers and betrayers of Christ, if Christ had done what you were doing, who would have been spared? Here's the funny thing. I started reading this book first a couple of years ago, looking for proofs, looking for quotes that I could use to kind of justify the commitment that I felt to small groups. And I got in there, and what this book says over and over again is that togetherness is not the biblical value that we make it out to be. I was shocked to read quotes like this. It's not the experience of brotherhood, but it's faith in our brotherhood that holds us together. In other words, it is not our experience of togetherness that unites us. It's our solid conviction that Jesus has made us the one body of Christ. That's what unites us. So, back to Ephesians. In Ephesians 4, in verses 4 through 6, Paul really explains the theology of unity. The theology of what God has made us to be. There's one body, the one body of Christ. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. You know what else? We're united in. That describes the thing that we profess. It describes the reality of our situation. But you know what else we're united in? Hopefully this is a theme you've heard a few times here. We're united in our sentness. Here's another quote from Bonhoeffer. What love is, only Christ tells in his word. So contrary to all my own opinions and convictions, Jesus Christ tells us what love toward my fellow Christian really is. So when Christ bids me to maintain fellowship for the sake of love, I will maintain it. But where his truth enjoins me to dissolve a fellowship for love's sake, then I will dissolve it, despite all the protests of my human love. Bonhoeffer knew that faithfulness to Christ's calling on our lives, Christ's sending, faithfulness to that is our highest calling. Togetherness is a beautiful gift of God, but it's a seasonal gift, and it's a gift with a purpose. Our togetherness is not the end all, be all of our existence. Our togetherness has a purpose. And Paul goes on to describe that purpose. And so we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The purpose of our unity, the purpose of our togetherness, Christlikeness. I do want to pause and say again, our togetherness is a beautiful gift of God. 2 weeks ago, we kind of celebrated this launch, this thing that we're doing out here, and we celebrated what God has accomplished through this. Over and over again, you heard people talk about, I love the feel of being together. When you walk in the door, your heart beats a little faster because it's great to be here. Our togetherness is a gift. But this is not the point. This gathering is not why we're here. This gathering is to equip us to go out and be the body of Christ in the world. That's our calling. You know, our brothers and sisters at the downtown campus, whether they knew it or not, they engaged in a mighty act of faithfulness when they sent us out to create this community of worship at Barksdale School. And without a doubt, they suffered loss. And I've heard them talk about that sense of loss. They love you. And if you haven't seen them in a while, you might want to pop in once in a while. They miss seeing your faces. But in as much as they continue to send us out, they continue to be faithful to their calling. My prayer for them is that they would find joy in the sending. In verse 7 of this passage in Ephesians, it starts with the word but. In seminary, we used to call these the big buts, because whenever there's a but, it's usually something big right after it. And Paul says, but to each of us, grace has been given. What kind of grace? A few verses later, it says, Christ gave the gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. These five gifts. I've preached about this several times, and I've always preached about it and said, those five gifts are kind of the gifts of leadership. And God gives those gifts of leadership. If you continue reading in Ephesians, it says, God gives those gifts, in verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service. So the whole body will be built up. I've quoted that verse in standing right here, and I've said, who does the works of service? You do. What's my job? To equip you. But I've been reading more and more scholars who are looking at this verse, and they see that word each. To each of us is given this grace. And they're saying, maybe God gives every one of us one of those five gifts. Every one of us is an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher. Every one of us has the task of building up the body of Christ to do the works of service, the works of God in here and in the world. Every one of us has that task. The word that the word that's translated to prepare, other versions say to equip. And the classical Greek word there, it actually is the same word that's used to describe realigning a joint that's popped out of its socket. So equipping is putting us back in the groove where we were made to function best. That's why we gather here on Sundays. We get together to glorify God and to equip ourselves to go out and make disciples. If you want to take your marching orders from the Bible, which might be a good idea. Putting us back in the groove where God made us. We're calling today First Serve Sunday for a reason. And in just a second, I'm going to invite three more coaches to come up. But the point of this First Serve Day is to remind ourselves that when we gather here on a Sunday morning, we do all share this task of building up the body. There are no posing in front of the mirror bodybuilders in the church. We build each other up. You have a job to play in that task. God has given you a calling to teach and equip and challenge and hold each other accountable and to pray for one another, to build up this body, to do the works of Christ. That is a fundamental part of our vision. We are going to keep that in front of us all the time. Our connectedness, our building each other up, and our sentness, our sending each other out. That's why we're here. To continue with the first serve idea, I want to invite up Tim Bourne, Allie Culp, and who am I forgetting? Pam, is Pam here? Pam. And they're each going to just tell you who they are and how they contribute to building up the body here. Oh, this is Allie.
She's taking a nap.
Meaning Will. When I say, Tim, you want to go first? I didn't tell Pam she was going to have to speak, so give her a minute to prepare.
Hi.
I did a good job building you up, didn't I?
Hi, I'm Tim Bourne, and he just wanted me to say three sentences. That's one. Number two is, all this setup we just do in the mornings, it's just kind of been a fun social time for a lot of us that do it. And it's great. I love doing it. I just don't want to have to do it every Sunday. And so, plus, we want others to take in on the joy that we have in doing this. And the thinking is that if we became a little more organized about showing the little steps of what we do, that more can become involved in that and sharing that experience. So that's more than three. But
coach of.
Oh, coach of setup.
Setup.
Well, actually, Dave does all this, and I just take credit. So.
Hi, I'm Pam Scott, and I'm the coach of hospitality. And I love it. It's really easy. When I was told that I was going to do coffee and conversation and, you know, the coffee part of it, someone's like, oh, that's big burnout. And I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't commit. But I took it on, and I love it. It's easy. And everybody that's on our committee that signed up, they say they're here at 7:30 in the morning making coffee and setting out donuts, but they love it. And they ask, when can we do it next? So if you are interested, please see me, and we'll get you on the list.
Hi, I'm Will Culp, and along with my wife, Allie, who is currently serving as crib for Emmeline, who's taking a nap, we are the co-coaches for the Connections team. And the Connections team is all about connecting people into life at First Church, especially for people who are new to the Southwest campus. And that is everything from the launch pads, which are, you know, doing their work out there among you right now, to a whole bevy of ideas that we have yet to discover. And that is where many of you will come in, because I encourage you to join us on this mission of Connections and sign up to move forward with us. Thanks.
Thanks, Will. In just a minute, we're going to offer our tithes and our offerings to God. We'll be passing the bowls around this morning. As we're doing that, I'm going to ask you, we're going to have just some music playing. I'm going to ask you to let this be a time of reflection and prayer, of asking yourself, how is God calling you to play a part in building up the body of Christ? Now, there are so many ways to do that. The one thing that we have in common here is that we gather on Sunday mornings for worship. And so the coaches who have stood here before you all have that common theme of how do we make this possible so that we can be built up and sent out into the world. And as the bowls are being passed, as the music's playing, I'm just going to invite you to listen for God to say, how are you made? What's your groove that you can help out and play a part? Let's pray.